Support comes from Sunday Morning Cafe, founded by researcher, speaker, and therapist Dr. Tom Wagner, offering mini retreats with live music and online resources to build resilience and community. SundayMorningCafe.com.
From the St. Louis Public Radio Newsroom, this is The Gateway. It's Monday, June 15th. I'm Abby Larico. A group of Illinois 8th graders recently pushed to make the black and gold bumblebee the Illinois state bee, and they learned a lot along the way.
I just thought bees were an insect that stings you, but after doing all this information, I really actually understood how much impact it has on our environment.
We'll find out whether those students succeeded in that push, coming up after this news on The Gateway. Interstate 44 in downtown St. Louis will likely be closed for at least a week as crews repair a massive hole that formed over the weekend. You've probably seen pictures of it by now. That hole is about 30 feet across and 12 feet deep. It opened after a water main broke late Friday night. It's directly below an elevated portion of the highway. Missouri Department of Transportation officials say they're confident that that structure remains sound, but keeping traffic away will prevent more potential damage. Mayor Kara Spencer says the hole is a sign that the city needs to invest in replacing its aging water pipes.
When you have water mains that are over 100 years old, we know that they're all at risk. And that is really a challenge for our water department and our city as a whole.
I-44 is closed between the Poplar Street Bridge and the Stan Musial Veterans Memorial Bridge. All traffic heading into downtown needs to get off at the Park Avenue exit. A judge in Cole County has rejected one of three challenges to the 2025 law that put the St. Louis Metropolitan Police Department under control of a board appointed by the governor. Judge Daniel Green ruled Friday that the law reestablishing Missouri's state control did not violate the single subject and clear title requirements of the state constitution. An attorney for the St. Louis Board of Aldermen's president, Megan Green, says the decision will be appealed. Green's suit originally raised arguments that minimum funding levels for the police department were unconstitutional, unfunded mandates. She also challenged provisions of the law as violating free speech, but she later dropped those claims. Two other cases are still pending. St. Louis County Executive Sam Page will have left office by the time he goes on trial in his pending criminal case. In a brief hearing Friday, a judge in Springfield set January 25th as the trial start date. Page announced in December that he would not seek re-election, and his successor will be sworn in on January 5th. Page is accused of improperly using county funds to campaign against a measure that would have made it easier for St. Louis County Council members to fire department heads. He faces two felony and two misdemeanor charges. Members of Missouri's congressional delegation support obtaining significant amounts of money from a federal community grant program to help St. Louis recover from last year's tornado. Both of Missouri's U.S. senators, as well as Congressman Wesley Bell, are pushing for Community Development Block Grant disaster relief funds. The program could help build new housing in areas that are still struggling from last year's deadly tornado. But since Congress hasn't funded the program since December of 2024, Bell says his Republican colleagues who control both chambers need to take action.
At this point, we need Republicans to do their part. And we need them to join us because these natural disasters impact everyone.
Mayor Spencer says she's pushing for anywhere from $1 billion to $1.5 billion in disaster relief funds to help the city recover. The Federal Emergency Management Agency has given Centennial Christian Church in North St. Louis more than $3 million to help it rebuild after the May tornado. Church leaders say the funds are an answered prayer for a path forward to recovery. STLPR's Andrea Henderson has details.
Church leaders say the FEMA grant has given Centennial a huge boost to help with rebuilding. The tornado-damaged church was demolished in April. After the storm, the congregation moved to a sanctuary in Florissant. Dietra Wise Baker is the church's transition pastor.
The church's intention is to be a historic church again in Fountain Park. It now has to go through a deeper planning process to make that vision a reality. That's not a, you know, a 1-2-3 process. That's going to take some time.
Wise Baker says the FEMA funding isn't enough to cover the entire rebuilding process. The church is taking donations at cccstl.org. I'm Andrea Henderson, St. Louis Public Radio.
A plane crash in Butler, Missouri killed 12 people Sunday morning. Butler's about an hour's drive south of Kansas City. The single-engine turboprop took off around 11:30 a.m. from Butler Memorial Airport. Authorities say it was carrying 11 skydivers and the pilot. The Pacific Aerospace 750XL plane came down minutes after taking off. Bates County Sheriff Chad Anderson says family members of the victims were at the Butler Memorial Airport at the time of the crash.
So we just want to make sure that they're comforted. We have multiple clergy people here. We have multiple volunteers that's tending to any needs that they have or as much questions as we can answer for them early on.
Sheriff Anderson says investigators believe the crash was an accident. Authorities have not yet released the victims' names or any other identifying information. Add O'Fallon, Missouri to the list of towns that have put restrictions on wheels. Wheels like on mini motorcycles, electric skateboards, or hoverboards. The city council voted to ban several types of motorized play vehicles from roads, sidewalks, and parks late last week. According to council documents, the O'Fallon Police Department says these vehicles are often used by kids and teenagers and are becoming a safety hazard. That's particularly when risers aren't paying attention, aren't following traffic laws, or are speeding. Many motorized play vehicles also weren't meant to be used on the road. There were some exceptions to the ban. E-bikes are allowed on all roads, sidewalks, and in parks. Golf carts are too, with some restrictions. Cities including Crestwood, Wildwood, and Wentzville have passed similar legislation, and last week police in Baldwin asked the city to put restrictions on motorized play vehicles there, too. Three St. Louisans became heroes over the weekend when they saved a World Cup watch party that went dark. St. Louis Public Radio's Sarah Fenton reports from outside the Amsterdam Tavern in South St. Louis.
Close to 1,000 people had packed the street to watch the U.S. face Paraguay on a huge screen. But partway through the first half, the game feed cut and the power in the bar went out. The groans could be heard blocks away. That's when a group of friends saved the night. They had been watching in an apartment overlooking the street. They lifted a large TV on the balcony railing so the people below could watch. The crowd showered them with cheers. Cole Klein held one end of the TV.
You know, we're men of the people. We saw that everyone was in trouble, and you know, we wanted to come save the day.
Before the end of the half, the video feed returned, and the U.S. beat Paraguay 4-1. I'm Sarah Fenton, St. Louis Public Radio.
Men of the people, indeed. The U.S. plays its next match against Australia on Friday. While a lot of middle school research projects end up in a storage bin, in the attic, or in the trash, one that some Illinois eighth graders worked on is now state law. Jess Savage has the story.
Naperville students spearheaded the effort to make the big, fuzzy, black and gold bumblebee the official Illinois state bee. Barb Bell is a science teacher. She designed a research project for their 8th grade class, where they worked together, making a case for one of the 10 most common bee species found in Illinois.
Whenever we can make learning more hands-on, it absolutely makes it more meaningful for students. And so the fact that this was more experiential than anything is the greatest teacher ever.
Students worked in small groups to do a deep dive on one bee species. Liza DeSanto knew exactly which bee she wanted to advocate for.
When we picked out our bees, I ran to the front of the line so I could get the black and gold bumblebee
yeah.
first. I was like,
yeah.
I need the black and gold bumblebee. So
yeah,
I
ran. So
me, Ahana, and Sophia, we ran in the front and we're like, black and gold bumblebee.
Liza, Ahana Patel, and Sophia Nicoloudis were project partners from the beginning. They designed and narrated presentations which were shared with schools all across Illinois. Thousands of students all had a chance to choose the state bee. The black and gold bumblebee came out on top. Black and gold bumblebees are native to North America. They build above-ground nests in grassland landscapes like prairies. Elena Groton is with the Dolezal Bee Research Lab at the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign. She says they're especially great pollinators for agricultural plants.
When they get on a flower, they shake it. It's called sonicating, and they buzz really loudly, and then they shake out all of the pollen. Plants like tomatoes or peppers or blueberries all really benefit from this type of pollination.
She says their fuzziness has a lot to do with how well they pollinate.
They just get like completely head to toe covered in pollen, and they've got so much hair all over them that it just sticks. And so they go to the next flower and they just roll around again.
Black and gold bumblebees aren't a species of conservation concern in Illinois. But because they look so similar to the very common American bumblebee, Groton says it's hard to collect good population data about this species. And with the student voting complete, it was time for Sophia, Ahana, and Liza to present their research at the Capitol. They testified for naming the black and gold bumblebee as the Illinois State Bee.
I was really not that nervous.
I was a little nervous.
Once we got in there, I wasn't nervous.
I wasn't nervous just because we prepared so much.
State Representative Janet Rohr introduced the bill to legislators. She supported the students through the process and got to meet them in person on the day they came to testify.
You know, when you shine a light on these areas, that attention, I think, is so important. To helping, you know, all of us know what are the things that we can do to turn the tide.
Ahana says it's special to create change, especially when it comes to our natural world.
We all, like me, Sophia, Liza, we all really like care about nature. Like we live in like a really foresty area, and that's like a high priority in the state we live in as well. So us getting to make an impact on that, like, in lawmaking was like a really like exciting, like, decision, yeah.
Many students experienced a change of heart about bees throughout the research project, including Sophia.
I just thought bees were an insect that stings you, but after doing all this information, I really actually understood how much impact it has on our environment and how much it really does for the Midwest and basically the whole world and how much it really helps.
The bill passed in the Senate, making the big fuzzy bug Illinois' state bee. I'm Jess Savage.
That story comes to us from member station Northern Public Radio in DeKalb, Illinois. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, a listener-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis. Our theme music's by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur, but right now, Flight of the Bumblebee. Hopefully that gets you going on a Monday. I'm Abby Larico, and from the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, thanks for listening to The Gateway.